when I talk to those guys, I have to tell them the chili cook-off, you don't get the chili until after the Sunday service, the second service, but they're really excited about it. We might have to throw a bowl in or something like that early. So anyway, keep that on your calendar. Be ready to come. It's going to be an exciting time. And I like them because I believe they answer honestly to the point where if they don't know, they literally say, we don't know. We're going to try to find out for you. So it's very good. If you have your Bibles today, we're going to start out in Luke chapter 2. The title is A Savior. A Savior. When I say Jesus is your Savior, my Savior, a Savior, what does that mean to you? You know, how do you think? Where does your mind go immediately? And we're looking at one verse in Luke chapter 2 because I believe almost everybody here knows the gospel Christmas story. You know, we know what happened. If not, you'll learn along the way today. But here's the verse, chapter 2 and verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. If you're following in your outline, angels announce Jesus as Savior, Messiah, and Lord. I really want to unpack some of that today, and I want to look at it, and what does it mean, and what does it mean to you, and what does it mean to the world, and how does the world see things? Before I move on, I want to give you a little bit of history at this time, all right? The very first verse of chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke says this, in those days, Caesar Augustus. You see, it says he issued a decree and he wanted to count everybody, take a census, so they could better collect taxes. Does that sound like anything familiar? But if you really look at the history here, and what I want to bring out to you that goes along with this birth announcement or kind of sets it up in a way that we may not know today in America in this year is this is probably 8 or 10 years after Julius Caesar has died. And they have deified Julius Caesar. They have made him a god. And his successor is Octavius Augustus, or Augustus, the one we read about here, who called the census. And what he did is during a civil war time, he took over and he won and he came out ahead. And so he's the Caesar and they thought of him as a god. Yet they celebrated his birthday. His birthday was the beginning of their year. And they made it such a big deal, you see, which because he had a birthday, he was a man, but yet he was a god. Sound like anything? Sound like anyone? And so this was going on, you see. Caesar Augustus was called the Son of God, who was the great Savior of the whole earth through bringing peace to Rome. The announcement of this was heralded as good news. So church, did you recognize that? Have you ever thought of that? Did you know that was going on during that time? And so when the angels appeared to the shepherds, which I think it had to be one of the most awesome sights when angels lit up the sky. But when they brought the good news and they said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And then they say, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests. What they were doing, and I hope it's okay and God doesn't scold me for this when I get to heaven, but I think God, through the angels, was taunting the Roman Empire. In basketball, you get a technical foul for taunting. Let them try and call one on Jesus. But what's really going on here, you see the entire Roman world and everybody here is under the Roman rule. Mary and Joseph have gone to Bethlehem to register with the census that Augustus, the god of their age, has called. And then here the angel comes out and says, hey, born to you this day is a Savior. Those were words that were familiar to these people because they had been hearing about the Savior, Augustus, who brought peace
on earth, and it was heralded as the gospel or the good news. You see, folks, God understands that we're in a battle here, that there's a spiritual war going on. And so he said, the Savior has been born, and it was the good news. Hallelujah. If you're following in your outline, Jesus is the promised anointed one, or the Messiah, and the Son of the owner and creator of the world. What a bunch packed into one verse. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah, or the anointed one. This series is called, you know, fulfilled. The prophecies have been fulfilled. Jesus is the promised one who is going to come, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Israel was waiting for him. He's the Son of the owner and the creator of the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Nothing that was created without him. If you remember the parable, when they're talking about the vineyard, and the owner kept sending someone to help collect his share of what they were getting, and they kept mistreating him, and he said, I will send my son. Jesus is the Son of the owner and the heir of the Creator and the Lord, the ruler of the world. Do we look at him that way? Do we see him in that way? And then when we study that word Savior, or we say, well, if he's the Savior, what did he come to save us from? It's a good question, isn't it? And they're looking at this Augustus as he saved them from the Civil War, and he made them this powerful nation, and he brought peace, you see. So what did Jesus come to save us from? It's in your next point. Jesus' mission was to save his people from their sin. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, all right? In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, when the angel is speaking to Joseph, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. In the study of soteriology, the study of salvation, such a great salvation as we have through Jesus Christ, what is he doing when he came to be your Savior and God with us? It was to save us from our sins. In Luke chapter 1, all right, verses 76 through 79, after the birth of John the Baptist, and Zechariah, you know, was quiet and he was silent because he didn't believe. But when he wrote down on a piece of paper, his name will be John, the name the angel gave him, his mouth was opened, and listen to what he says to John the Baptist. You, my child, will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. Now listen, don't miss this verse. To give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun, which comes to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. That's what they were heralding the Caesar for doing. Jesus came to give his people knowledge of salvation through forgiveness of their sins. John the Baptist heralded that. Salvation, what an amazing thing. We got a call probably a month or two ago, and a man called and he said, I led a young man to the Lord. And he said, he's coming back into town over the Christmas holidays here, and he wants to get baptized. He said, would you have a place we could baptize him? And it was like, well, we're going to have a baptism on the 30th. Yeah, but the family won't be here then. So what should we do? And I said, Lord, what do we do? Well, we filled the baptismal. And it was awesome. Yesterday at 12 o'clock, the family came. The man that led him to the Lord, his soccer coach came. And the family gathered up here, and we opened up the curtains, and we had the water in the baptismal. And I sat in the chair, and I listened to that young man give his testimony. And he said, I used to think I was a Christian. I thought I was going to go to heaven. And then I realized I did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he called on Jesus as his Savior to forgive his sins. And he was baptized. And the entire family just gathered around. What a way to celebrate the birth of Jesus. His mother was baptized too. I was so high by the time we got to service last night. See, you're part of a miracle, church, when someone passes from death to life and then they're baptized and they keep taking the next step, all right? So Jesus came to save his people from their sins, the Savior. Look at your next point. Jesus came to save hungry, humble people. Again, in the Gospel of Luke, all right? Chapter 1, verses 50 to 55. This is part of what they call the Magnificat, or it's what Mary said to Elizabeth, when she went to visit Elizabeth to see that she was pregnant, like the angel said, to bring proof. Now listen to Mary's words. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those, now listen, who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up, key verse, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham, his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. He came to save hungry, humble people. On the context of the verses that we just read, how many people here have said, Lord, if I could just win the lottery? Right? If I just had enough money, everything would be okay. You know what the Bible says? It says you would be sent away empty. Who did the Savior come for? He came to forgive the sins of those who are hungry and humble. Church, what are we hungry for today? I'm here to tell you, rich people aren't always happy. They're worried about their money and who's going to try to take it, correct? But what does the Word of God say? It says He came and he filled the hungry with good things. He's lifted up the humble. It kind of explains what's going on in the world today, doesn't it? Why people don't acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior? Because they're hungry for the things of the world. And they're not really humble. They want to get ahead. And they want to have themselves exalted. They want to lift themselves up. They want to make a name for themselves. The Savior came for someone that's hungry and someone that's humble. I was riding home from a basketball game Friday night, and my eighth grade grandson was sitting next to me, Ben, and he had a riddle for the entire car. And he just shouted this out. He had no idea I needed it for sermon material, see. But this is what he said. He said, what is it that the larger it gets, the harder it is to see? The larger it gets, the harder it is to see. And we were going around the car. Everybody in the car was guessing what this was. It was a riddle. And I was thinking it would be awesome if I tell you, just come tomorrow night to the Christmas Eve service and I'll give you the answer. Just kidding. You know what the answer is? The larger it gets, the harder it is to see. Humility. The more humility takes over your life, the harder it is to see, because you will die to yourself, you will disappear, and you will live for Christ. I said, Ben, where in the world did you hear that? Oh, Grandpa, it's in my literature book in school. I love our school. Humility. Who did the Savior come for? The Savior came to save hungry, humble people. If you're in here today and you're wondering about Christmas and you're saying, why the big deal? You know, what's it all about? And why did Jesus have to come and take on human flesh? And what's this all about, you see? My question to you is, are you hungry and are you humble enough to find out? Can you fall on your knees before a holy God and ask for your sins to be forgiven? Your next point in the outline, Jesus saves people that know they need a Savior. See, the people who think they have it all together and they don't need a Savior and everything's fine and they're doing just well, just good in this world, they don't need God. They don't need anything, you see. I'm thinking of the scribes and Pharisees in Jesus' day, right? Jesus came in, they thought they were it. They thought the Messiah had to look like them, didn't they? They couldn't accept this little baby born in a manger that shepherds came to see, that didn't go to their school, that didn't look like them, that didn't talk like them, that didn't think like them. Next question today, do you know that you need a Savior? I remember the time in my life when the big question in my life was, why am I waking up at 4:30 in the morning and going to bed at midnight? What am I doing this for? What is the purpose in life? What's going on? See, church, the world is searching for significance. And without the Savior, you will not find it. You'll have this peak where you're happy for a while because you made it, and then when you drop down to the valley, you'll wonder what it's all about again. And then you might get to the peak again, and you know, I heard a report on the way in today that, you know, this is a terrible time for depression. People will fall into depression at this time of the year, and it says they'll keep going for months and keep falling. To which I said, boy, do they need a Savior. Someone to bring peace into their life and joy and purpose and significance. I'm significant because Jesus came to set me free and He died on the cross for me. Hallelujah. Folks, that makes us very, very special. Look at your next point. Israel wanted a different kind of Savior. Might I say to you this morning, Israel was looking for someone to whoop Augustus. See, they were looking for somebody to come in and to take out the Roman emperor and to take over and say, now you are the people that are in charge. Mr. Pharisee, come here. I'm going to put you in my cabinet. They wanted a different kind of Savior. What kind of a Savior do you want, you see? What kind of a Savior do we celebrate this year? Are you all right with someone that came to forgive your sins and bring real peace into your life? See, there's a big difference to me in Augustus and what he could do and what Jesus could do. There's a huge difference, church. I love the next point. Jesus is the true superhero savior. Has anybody noticed they always come out with a lot of movies around Christmas time? Have you noticed that? They release all the movies, and there's always at least one superhero movie in the set. You know, this year, from what I can see, it's Aquaman. Right? You gotta have a DC comic movie to come out, because it's Christmas time and people are going to get, you know, gift cards to go to the movies, and people want to go to the movies and all that. But what I'm trying to tell you is Jesus is the true superhero savior. Augustus may have brought peace to the Roman Empire and made the Roman Empire number one, and they proclaimed the good news and they said he was a god, but he really wasn't a god because he died like everybody else. And furthermore, my superhero can make the lame walk. He can make the deaf hear. He can make the dumb speak. He can forgive sin. You know what else he can do? He can take me to heaven with him for eternity, church. Amen. You know what else he'll do? He'll whoop every villain that you have in your video game. And at the end, he's going to be the last one standing. And what I want you to see this morning is those angels came and they announced his birth and they said, Rome, you've never seen a savior like this before. My dad's bigger than their dad. He's bigger than the world, church. He came to set us free from sin and death. So my question for you this morning as we end is, what have you done with Jesus? You've heard enough this morning that you're not going to be able to stand in front of him and go, well, I didn't know about you, Lord. And he's going to go, remember that day at Mount Zion? You heard that the Savior could forgive sins. And that's what he came for. Jesus blazed a trail for me into heaven. I'm going to follow him right there. He says he's preparing a place for me right now. So my question for everybody in here today, if you want to have the best Christmas of your life, if you have never open the door to your heart. I want you to know you don't have to chase Jesus down. He's after you right now if you're listening. And so many people say, oh, you go to church, they just want your money. You know what? Jesus doesn't need your money. He doesn't want your money. You know what he wants? He wants your soul. That's what he wants for eternity. He wants you to live with him. And so this morning, if you're in here, and if you've never opened the door to your heart, if you've never acknowledged that Jesus is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, I challenge you, do it right now. It's between you and him. It's not between you and me. It's not between you and the person next to you. But have you acknowledged that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? What the Romans did was a scam. Augustus is not the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. And then have you acknowledged that you've sinned? You see, it's very simple. All you have to do is say to God, say, Lord God, I have sinned against you, a holy God. And say, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me to forgive my sins. And it's very simple. You just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And then if you say, come into my heart and be my Lord, take over the reins, because you are the creator and the ruler of this world. So come in and take over. Grab the reins. So if you can do that, it's between you and God. Here's what my Bible says. It says you pass from death to life. And you go from a child of darkness to a child of light. And then you can celebrate Christmas like never before, because you're celebrating now the birthday of your Savior. Father, I pray for everybody in here today that, Lord, we put you first, that we understand that word, Savior, Messiah, Lord. And that, Lord, we acknowledge you for who you are, and that, Lord, we look forward to eternity. I have an eternity of peace coming because of Jesus. Father, take your word, let it accomplish what you sent it to do in each of our hearts. But Lord, help us this Christmas to celebrate our Savior. His name is Jesus. Amen. If you need prayer, we're here to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go in peace to celebrate our Savior. His name is Jesus. Amen.